Okay, what is going on YouTube? Welcome to episode 23 of the FPL family. This is our game week 14 reaction video. And while we're talking about reactions, what do you think? What do you think of this little array, guys? Hopefully the video is looking okay. I think the stream's looking pretty strong. Hopefully the sound is okay. One thing is for sure, we have the microphone...
I'm hands-free.
...plugged in on a table. It's very secure back there. The cable is not going to fall out, guys. And needless to say, you are not holding it.
Boo.
Boo. Some of the guys said that was a highlight, actually, last week when we were cut off for about 30 seconds.
Well, us not talking was a highlight.
Us not talking was actually a video highlight. Of all the things we've got up here, guys, and you'll see. And, you know, we'll add some things to this. We'll change some of the little pictures around. But we've got some awesome stuff here from our sponsors, Kicking the Ball. So have a look at, I mean, this here, the Spurs signed Christian Eriksen, Harry Kane.
Dele Alli.
And the Dele Alli, who we're absolutely going to talk about a bit later on, because he is back, guys. What a player. What a weekend he had. And then, of course, we've got the Champions of Europe six times. Liverpool signed shirt by all the team there as well. So we've got some great stuff from Kicking the Balls. But the one thing we want to share with you guys is this. This is a game that we went to. We went to White Hart Lane at the time. Spurs versus Wigan in what year, Sam?
2009.
So 10 years ago this game. And we sat in the Paxton Road End, I think.
Mm.
Paxton Road End. 9-1 record score. And you've got this little piece of memorabilia. Read the team out. I love this team, guys. I love this team. And 10 bonus points. Get in the live chat if you can tell me what nationality Wilson Palacios is, by the way. Wilson Palacios. Go on, tell us the team.
So it was Gomez.
Gomez, right, yes.
Dawson, Chorluka, Okoto and Woodgate. What legends.
Dawson, Okoto...
Chorluka and Woodgate.
Jonathan Woodgate.
Yeah.
That was the one game he played, yes, good.
No, he played more than that. And then in the mid, Huddleston, Lennon, Palacios and Cranshaw. Good old Nico Cranshaw.
Is this Harry Redknapp era?
Couldn't it?
If Cranshaw's at Spurs, pretty good chance it was Harry Redknapp era. But Wilson Palacios in centre mids, absolutely brilliant. And who
and
up front?
Up top, big and small, with Crouch and Defoe, absolute heroes.
What a combo.
But, I mean, what's interesting about this is you look at the bench and it's got Signo Jermaine Genus on it. It's got Pavlyuchenko on it.
Pavlyuchenko, remember Pavlyuchenko?
And he's got the main man, Robbie Keane. What was he doing on the bench?
Robbie Keane on the bench. I'll tell you what he was doing on the bench. Letting Jermaine Defoe fill his boots. 5 goals, wasn't it, that day?
5 goals in 36 minutes. I just checked it.
We did not sit down for 90 minutes. That was an incredible
game.
And
our friend who we were with was on Match of the Day that night, because at the hype, do you remember, we could see ourselves in the crowd.
Really? There we go. There's a bit of FPL trivia.
We're
going to come for the live chat and say hello to a few people in a minute. And 10 bonus points. 10 FPL family points and a big pat on the back if you can tell us, without Googling, what nationality Wilson Palacios. What a player.
Wilson
Palacios. That's the most random reference we're ever going to have. Guys, welcome to this episode of FPL Family. Started off randomly, as usual. Hopefully the video and the sound is all coming across okay. Loads to discuss again. Loads to discuss. And we need to start by saying, oh my days, VAR got a couple right today.
Yeah, properly right as well.
Actually got a couple right. And it just shows you that when the guys in Stockley Park in the VAR... I was going to say tent. What are they in?
A room, cabin.
Cabin. In the VAR portaloo or whatever
woods.
It is they're
it's
in.
Not like, it's not like they're not camping in the woods.
I know. They're glamping, if anything. Yeah. The guys down in Uxbridge, when they have the cojones to overrule the referee that's on the pitch, they get the decisions right. Because that looks... And I must admit, I called it. When Chilwell went over in that Leicester game, I was like, pen. That's a pen. And I thought, well, here's some points for Vardy. But there's a pen. And of course, it did not touch him, but goodness me, it was very, very close. And then, of course, the one at the end...
It was onside.
He looked, naked eye, onside to me. But, of course, the linesman puts his flag up, so, okay, he's offside. And then pure, unadulterated joy when the goal is given. Didn't take that long either because it was pretty clear.
Mm.
And there we go, the right decisions. Two of the right decisions in one game.
Yeah, and to be fair, in the earlier game today, the retake of the penalty, at least we saw some consistency. Because,
absolutely, yes, I agree.
You know, last week we had that, with obviously the Vardy goal being retaken. Interestingly enough, they were both missed penalties that ended up getting retaken.
Yeah. But players now know, right? They know. Don't encroach.
So from that point of view, I think, you know, we can't moan too much about VAR. I mean, I'll have a little moan about it when we talk about Spurs later, I'm sure. But I think today's games... It was probably right, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I like it. It doesn't mean I like it, but they've got some decisions right today, and that is a step in the right direction. That's what we want to see. Here we go, guys. Let's get on with the show. Here's some questions for you guys. Get into the polls, a little white eye above my head, and check out these questions from our Patreons this week. And I need like a little table here.
I'll get your table. Like... We've had to pinch this table out of the living room because I still haven't decided what table I want.
Yeah, I had Michelle and Andrew Yee and a few others on Twitter saying it looks like a really nice setup because I tweeted a picture of the setup. But I need a table.
Yeah,
so
we pinch this one.
This is a temporary table.
I'm gonna get a table for here, and I'll get you a little laptop table.
Yeah, but... something to just put my little iPad with Fantasy Football Scout on it and my tea and stuff. And of course my phone, because here are the questions from the Patreons. Thank you guys for putting these in our Slack channel earlier. Aaron Chen asks the first question. What about this Liverpool double up then? What about the Liverpool double up? Are we sticking with one? Are we going with neither? What are we going to do with this double up? Because again, it's the defenders that have come to the fore for Liverpool this game week. But again, the clean sheet disappears through an error. And again, we'll come to it a bit later on, but I don't know what Alisson is doing there. It looks as if Lovren is going to get caught out.
Has he just lost all sense of where he was, do you think?
I don't know.
Maybe he thought he was in the goal. Maybe he thought it was closer to the goal than he was. I don't know.
I don't know what he's thinking. I genuinely don't. Maybe he just wanted to rest in midweek. I don't know.
Maybe he wants it. I can't be bothered with the derby.
But needless to say, it was a real clanger. And it looked like Lovren was going to get caught by, I think it was Mope, wasn't it, at the time. So a real clanger. So again, Liverpool, very, very uncomfortable last 10 or 15 minutes. When actually, we were cruising, to be honest. Cruising. So again, if you've got the Liverpool double up, and I noticed Jules, by the way, benched Van Dijk this week. Jules. Oh, it's a stinker. But if you've got the Liverpool double up, you're thinking, here we go, we're going to cruise through another 2-0. And yet again, Liverpool curse of inconsistency and uncharacteristic errors strikes again. So there we go. So there's Aaron's question. So go answer that question. Second question comes from Kyle, Dynamite Dons. Thank you, Kyle. He says, best cheap goalkeeper going forward. So at these, who would you have? Pope, Ryan, Gazzaniga, Henderson, or other? So thank you, Carl, for the question. Third question is from Liam Healy in the Slack. Thank you, Liam. He is saying, best midfielder around 6.5 or lower. And I like this question because the first option that he's put is Zaha. So now is Zaha back on our radars? We've talked in previous live streams about how good the fixtures are for Palace. Does he want to put himself in the shop window? Maybe he does after that performance at the weekend. Maybe. So
that's
best midfielder.
That's the second week in a row, to be fair to him. It was decent last game
yes,
as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So a couple of back-to-back decent performances. Yeah. So best midfielder around 6.5 or lower, Zaha, Mount, Tielemans or Perez. So thank you, Liam, for the question. And the final question comes from Sean Thorpe. Thank you, Sean, for this question. This is a bit of a tricky one to get your head around, actually. It's a bit of a tricky question. But which is the best United and Spurs combo?
Hey?
Yeah, see if you can follow this. See if you can follow. Kane and Martial, Ali and Rashford, Son and Rashford, Kane and Rashford.
Oh my God.
Son and Martial.
Wow.
I don't know if I...
There was a lot of Sons and Kanes and Rashford and Martials.
Yeah, without looking at it on the actual polls, it's kind of difficult to get your head around. But guys, that's the question. That's the question Sean wanted answering. So thank you, Sean, for asking the question. Guys, get into the polls. Little YI above my head. And we will look at those at the end of the show. So here we go. So let's say hello to a few people. See, look, I feel like I've got to put
it on the table. Look, I'm holding my tea.
No, yeah. But
if I
clang it, I don't want it to make like a noise on the microphone.
Put it there, and then I'm not.
No. It's going down here. You're gonna have to just put up with me.
I'll get you
up
a table
down.
This week.
Give me a little table. That'd be lovely. And
you
something
can pay
maybe
for
a laptop. Maybe like a laptop, one of them beanbaggy things or something.
I was gonna get you a one of those like C-shaped tables that tucks under. So you can have the laptop on it as well.
I like the sound of that. A C-shaped table.
Yeah, it's called a C table because it's a C.
Never heard of it, Sam. Never heard of it. But what I have heard of is Art Twitter, at FPL Family, if you're not following us over on Twitter. We thank you and we love you if you are. At FPL Family over on Instagram as well. And of course, we've got the Facebook and all that sort of good guff. Let's have a look at who is in this morning.
This
evening.
Well, it might be the morning if you're in Australia. Could be.
And we haven't even, all that VAR talk, we haven't even talked about some of the managerial movements in the last 2 days.
Let's say hello and then we'll talk about the impact.
There's so much football going on at the minute. It's absolutely unreal.
And we've got some more games on Tuesday night.
Loads more games coming up. Josh is here and moderating. Good evening, Josh. How are we doing? Garfield Rob is here. Lovely setup, guys, he says.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Garfield. That's very kind of you. One Rovers Vlogs is in. Evening, Josh, he says. So, Josh, make sure you say evening back to One Rovers Vlogs. Marwan Markad. Hello, guys. Hello, Marwan. How are we doing? Liam Healy is in. Liam, thank you for the question in the polls. Really appreciate it. Gaz Temple is here, who I've been talking to on Twitter, actually. So Gaz...
Gazaniga's here. I was going to get very excited.
Not Gazaniga, but next best thing is Gaz Temple. So Gaz Temple, welcome to the live chat this evening. Alpha 9 is in. I had Virgil van Dijk, he says, with a massive heart and an exclamation mark.
Would have been only better had he kept a clean sheet.
17 points, not to be sniffed at, though.
Yeah, but what could have been?
What could have been? What could have been? 17 points. In a game week like this, where I think the average is reasonably low, actually.
It was a tough one.
17 points is pretty good. We've had a couple of super chats, actually. I did see one a little while back that I need to go back to. All the way here. Here we are. Gurav Azamol. So thank you, Gurav, for the super chat. He says, A, B, or C, please. A very quick one, Sam, while we say hello. Mount out Zaharin. That's A. Pope out Henderson in. That's B. Or C, both, and take a 4-point hit. He's currently at 12k, by the way, Gurav. Very nice overall rank.
So if you'd have said two free transfers, as I said, do both. Given it's a hit, I'd just do the Zahara Mount one.
Yeah, not a hit for a keeper, I don't think.
Correct.
Not a hit for a keeper. That's a bit of an FPL family rule, that, isn't it? A bit of an FPL rule.
Yeah.
Taking hits for keepers is tough.
Keep the keeper hit until you've got a free that you don't need.
What I will say is Sheffield United fixtures do look very good indeed. So the double up at the back over the next few weeks is absolutely on, I think, with Mr. Lundstrom. I think it's absolutely on. But Mount to Zahara... Does look like a nice one there, Gurav. So thank you for the super chat. And another super chat coming in from... Here we go. Let's have a look. Scroll up a little bit. Mr. Wynyard. Hello, Steve. How are you? Good evening.
Pope. Won't be that happy, I don't think.
Yeah, a bit of another... Another tricky result for Manchester United. Pope worth a free transfer to Ryan or Henderson. Also United, and then a crying emoji. So yeah, he's not very happy about United. His free transfer, he's considering a Pope out to either Ryan or Henderson. Thoughts? Yeah, like some of that. Henderson, I think, in particular.
Henderson, I would do.
Sheffield United look very, very good defensively. Very good defensively.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great for me. And, you know, good I played him today because of the heat and own goals.
Yes, absolutely. Majd Hamdi is here. Good evening, by the way. Good evening, yes.
Can we say that anymore?
Now he's gone, it feels...
Is it a bit like an obituary? Obituary, is that the right word?
Yeah, we're sort of doing it in memory of him.
Memorandum.
Yeah, he's gone but not forgotten, Unai Emery. Gone but not forgotten. And didn't they show a bit more bite today, Arsenal? Something a bit about them for a change, which I thought... I know they didn't get a result, but a bit of something about them.
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't sound like you're convinced. We'll talk about that a bit later on. Fantasy Football Focus is here. No more good ibbening, he says. You can't do it. They can't do it. And then Tips pops up with a good ibbening. So yes, there we go. So you still can do it. Otto Mild is here. Flynn is in. How are we doing? Barry Coleman is here. Let's see. Chris is in. Mafio Sol and a whole... host of you guys, so thank you very much for joining. 480 people in already, Sam. Already. Lots to discuss. Lots to discuss on tonight's FPL family. Before we get started, we have to say thank you to...
Cheat! A sneaky cheat!
So that was a sneaky screenshot of the future.
Ooh, of the future. Of the show.
Where we're going to announce the winner of the November Manager of the Month Patreon. So if you saw that little sneak peek... because I accidentally clicked the screen. Ignore it. We're going to announce that later on. Pretend you didn't see that. But don't pretend that you didn't see this. This is our new Manager of the Month patrons for this week. So guys, thank you very much for joining us at our Manager of the Month tier. And of course, these guys will all be taking part in the December Manager of the Month. So if you're a Patreon, get over to patreon.com/FPL family. If you want to go support us over there, or if you are already supporting us over there, you can take part in our December Manager of the Month. And you get to win stuff from our partner, kickingtheballs.com, such as this lovely Spurs thing or this lovely Liverpool thing here. Doesn't have to be Spurs and Liverpool, of course. Have a check on their website. All the links in the description below. Once we've finished tonight, head over to kickingtheballs.com. Loads of good stuff like this. Loads of great stuff for Christmas presents. And you can also use the discount code FPLFamily10 to get 10% off your first order. But welcome to our new patrons. So Richard Friedman, Muniram Prakash, Taylor, James W., and Oskari, oh my goodness me, sorry Oskari, Oskari Elovinio, I think you say it. If I've butchered your name, Oskari, then I apologise. But thank you guys for joining us at the Manager of the Month level for December's Manager of the Month competition. And good luck, and good luck.
And December's exciting because there's so many
lots of games
in December. So
lots of games.
Goodness knows how many game weeks there is in this Manager of the Month competition. But I feel like it'll be constantly like backwards and forwards this month. Be exciting.
It will be exciting. Very, very good. We've had a few game weeks recently where we've had international breaks, so it's been quite quick, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's been three weeks. Yeah.
But now it's going to be like bang. This is a marathon. The December Manager Month is a marathon, no doubt about it. So there we go, at FPL Family over on Twitter. Let's get on with the games. Here are the results from Game Week 14.
you sounded like the guy from the Eurovision Song Contest then.
What?
Here are the results.
Well, okay.
Of the Whatever vote.
All right, well, here's the team that have kicked off with absolutely nil pois. And I wasn't expecting it, by the way. I was not expecting this result at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea
what
nil,
was that about?
West Ham 1. Now, cast your minds back a week ago and just remember how bad West Ham were last weekend. I mean, they had the dodgy keeper. Diop got the suspension, so, you know, he wasn't available for this game. I don't know. Maybe a change is what they need. A bit of change of personnel. The fact that David Martin comes in for, I think, his Premier League debut at the age of 33. So fair play to him. Just the fact that it wasn't the clown from last week maybe just gave the defence bit of a boost.
I think with him, you could see the genuine... At the end of the game, you could see the genuine pride that and the kind of... Just the love for the
club. He was
club.
So happy, wasn't he? Because he's the son of Alvin Martin, of course, who's very famous and very high appearances for West Ham goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So for his son to come in at the age 33, when frankly he's probably thinking...
Probably a bit past it.
I'm probably thinking, I'm never going to make my debut. I've been out on loan here, there and everywhere. He's a proper journeyman, isn't he, David Martin? Mm. Makes his debut, gets the clean sheet. And I'll tell you what, that is a proper upset there. Because Chelsea, as we know, firing on all cylinders. No Tammy Abraham. And I thought that made a big difference. Because Giroud was far too static in that game.
And I thought it was really interesting. So, just on West Ham for a second.
Yeah.
We said at the end of the Spurs game last weekend that we thought that Antonio made a massive difference when he came on against Spurs. He changed the game, changed the way that they were playing.
He's the only one that actually looked like he cared last week.
Absolutely. And I think that showed again this week. He looked good and they got the start. And it did. There was a massive improvement in West Ham this week. As for Chelsea, I thought it was really interesting because everything about Chelsea has been about speed and moving the ball quickly and pace. And without Tammy up top, that was gone. With Giroud there, there was no speed throughout to the attack. And I was really surprised to see Giroud very, very nearly. And it was only Frank's press conference that made me slightly change my mind, but I very nearly did Batshuayi in this week.
What?
For Tammy Abraham.
Why?
Because when I was watching the... Because when I was watching the Champions League games, that Abraham injury looked a lot more serious than I now think it is. So when I was listening... Before I heard Frank talk, I was thinking, right, I've got probably a long-term Tammy problem here. Who am I going to go to? Well, the Chelsea fixtures are still nice. I'm on Chelsea for a reason. And until January, those fixtures are nice. I'd like the Chelsea striker. And I didn't see it being Giroud. I saw it being Batman.
Right.
So in my head, I thought, right, I'll do that. And then when I listened to Frank's press conference and he was talking about, you know, we're going to reassess him at the end of the weekend. And I thought, that don't sound like a long-term injury to me.
No. And did you see Frank's comments after the game this weekend? So for you guys that might have missed this, I think obviously Frank was asked about Tammy's fitness and he kind of, a bit of a smile, a bit of a nod, you know, I think he said probably or, hopefully or something like that. And then in a press conference, I think today or maybe late yesterday, he talked about the fact that, you know, Tammy's looking okay and he really wants to be back against the team that, you know, he played on loan for last season or has played on loan for. So I think he'd be back.
And in the end, that's why I didn't do it. But a lot of managers did do that swap. There was a lot of Batmans in this week on that basis. But I think Chelsea were really lacking. And I think what it has shown is that if Tammy Abraham is out, I think it will be Batman that gets to start midweek. I don't see Giroud starting again. I just didn't think it worked.
I think Chelsea created some chances. I think Pulisic was a bit unlucky. Pulisic was top, actually, by the way, guys, this week for XG underachievement. So he had an XG of bang on one. So the stats all suggested that he should have scored. And he did get in some nice positions. If you're a Pulisic owner, if you've captained Pulisic this game week, I don't think there's anything to worry about there. The Chelsea fixtures do look good going forward.
Yeah,
they got a nice game against Aston Villa at the weekend. During the week. I think you stick with him, don't you?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I think you stick with him. I think a lot of people, if you're going to lose a Chelsea mid, it's probably Mount that's on the chopping block.
So give me your views on Mount, because a lot of people are saying this, right? I think Pulisic is going to get a stay of execution despite the blank at the weekend. Tammy's, you know, going to get a stay of execution as well because he is the main man there, no doubt. As soon as he's fit, he comes back in. But people starting to lose a lot of patience with Mount.
Yeah, I felt for me that Chelsea looked a little bit leggy in that game. They looked a little bit tired off the back of the Champions League. I think there was a little bit of a hangover. And for me, this is probably one of the worst times for Chelsea to have another game in the middle of the week. So they had a tough game on Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
They then obviously had a tough game on Saturday. And they've got a relatively difficult game because Aston Villa will go, they'll go to play on, I don't know if they're Tuesday or Wednesday, but
during the week,
during the week. And I felt that they looked tired. And I think with Callum Hudson-Odoi back, there is a risk that there's some rotation in that midfield ahead of the midweek game.
For Pulisic, do you think?
I think more like, wow, in my mind, it was more likely for Mount than it was for Pulisic. I don't know. I felt like Pulisic, in that game, if anyone was going to get something for Chelsea, it felt like it was going to come through him.
Yeah.
So I think it would be a miss of Frank to rest him in midweek, given that they do actually, they need to win that. They need to win that.
They do, yeah, they do, absolutely. And I think Willian was a miss as well. Didn't start with Willian. I think that's a miss. People underestimate how well he's been playing, actually, this season. All the focus is on Tammy and Mount and, you know, Pulisic, obviously. And people forget that Mount is actually a big part of that team now. I also thought that they missed Azpilicueta's experience leadership. A little bit in his leadership. Reece James had a pretty good game going forward. He was whipping crosses in. I thought he looked dangerous going forward, but I just think he got caught out a little bit and he got turned inside out for Creswell's goal. So defensively, he looks a bit like a Trent Alexander-Arnold, Reece James, right now. He's pretty quick. He's quicker than Trent by the looks of things. He can deliver a good ball. Bit questionable, some of his defending and positioning. So at 5.0 in FPL, I guess you're not, as a Tomori owner, really looking at Reece James or anybody else in that back line right now.
No, and Tomori's an irritating one to me because every time I think he's not going to get a clean sheet, I bench him and then he does. And every time I think, oh, there's a good chance he's going to get a clean sheet, I play him and he doesn't.
Yeah.
But he's cheap and he's playing every week for Chelsea and I don't want to spend any more money in that position necessarily. The only way he might go is if Spurs can manage to start keeping some clean sheets, because then I will be looking at Aurier.
Okay, all right. West Ham for their part. Given that they, of course, have the blank in 18 in the same way that Liverpool do, and we are only what 3 game weeks away from that now. So let's check out the Fantasy Football Scout ticker and have a look at West Ham. They are towards the bottom. Wolves away next, which is tricky. Arsenal at home, which difficult to know what sort of shape Arsenal are going to be in by the time that game rolls around. Then Southampton away, then a blank, then Palace away. So one home game in the next 5. Despite that result against Chelsea, I don't think I'm necessarily looking at any West Ham assets right now.
No. I think the only one for me that's shown anything about them is Antonio, and there are too many other good players in that position to pick him.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's move on from Chelsea 0 West Ham 1, which was a real shock of the weekend. There was 2 teams that I looked at last weekend, and I thought, West Ham and Everton in particular, I thought, I'm going to pile into Chelsea, pile into Leicester. And I looked at my team on paper at the beginning of this game week and thought, I'm heavily invested in those two. And I'm very happy that I'm heavily invested in those two, because their opposition, West Ham and Everton, looked really, really bad. West Ham in particular. So that result has really affected my game week, no doubt about it, because I was on Mount, I was on Pulisic, and blank to both of those two. Then if you look at the game against Everton, now Leicester, of course, did run out victorious in that game in the end, but it was not easy. Everton played well in spells of that game, and it wasn't really until Iheanacho came on in the second half, and actually Rodgers gave them something to think about in terms of the two going forward. I think Marco Silva, fair play to him, got his tactics spot on. He went 3 at the back, which is unusual for him, and Vardy found it very hard against those three. Very, very hard against those three. And it wasn't until Iheanacho came on, and actually the two of them gave those three something then to think about, that actually the dynamic of the game changed and Leicester started to assert their authority a little bit.
Yeah.
Vardy did what Vardy does. And I bought Vardy in this game week mainly as a shield pick. Like, I didn't captain him. I wish I had captained him, but I didn't captain him, because every time he gets a goal, it was just hurting my rank. And actually when the goal went in for Vardy today, I had a 10k rank drop, because he's so highly captained this game week. And of course, he was due bonus points at the time. Actually had a bit of a rank drop, even though I had him in my team, which is frightening. There's the power of Vardy right now. But Vardy does what Vardy does, which is he's not in the game hardly had a sniff. And then in the last half an hour, completely came alive when Iheanacho came on and Leicester changed the dynamic of the game. So give me your view on the game and what you think that might mean for Marco Silva in particular. Is he the next one to go?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be, couldn't he?
I think he is. I think I would hope that after their performance that they put in today, that he doesn't go on the back of this one. Because I actually thought that he, like you just said, I thought that Everton were decent for large percentages of this game. For a change, I thought they played well.
They were gritty, weren't they? Sigurdsson was quite aggressive.
They were.
In the middle, which is unlike him.
There was something different about Everton today. And I hope that the Everton board see that and they see the fight that was in Everton today. Yeah. And they give him at least the midweek game, because I did feel like he was unlucky not to get at least a point out of that game.
Well, they've got to dust themselves off and come to Anfield next, so I don't think anyone's looking at Everton assets. But Leicester wise you've got Tielemans, you've got Vardy, you've got Soyuncu at the back as well. I guess with the fixtures as they are for Leicester coming up, pretty happy on those three.
No, not really.
Oh, okay, go on then.
So I had a straight choice a couple of weeks ago whether to bring in Tielemans or Zaha, and I spent a long time deliberating on it all week. And eventually I decided that because the game Palace had next was Liverpool at that point, that I wasn't going to bring Zaha in ahead of Liverpool, because that was felt like it would be stupid.
Sure, okay.
Actually, as it was, it would have been a good idea.
Okay.
And in those 2 weeks that I've had Tielemans, he's done absolutely the square root of nothing.
You thinking of doing that transfer now then? Yeah. Tielemans to Zaha?
So I think...
Feeling that?
I think I'm going to do that this week.
Okay.
The Palace fixtures are lovely. Zaha, I feel like Zaha is doing everything right. The heat maps for Tielemans are terrible. He didn't have a shot inside the box in the last game week.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm covered with Soyuncu and Vardy. I don't feel like I need that spot taken up by Leicester.
Let's see what the guys are saying in the live chat. So Azzy, good evening. He's saying Tielemans is a frustrating own, he says.
I've played up with him already.
Yeah, let's see what you guys are saying. So Fantasy Football Focus, I have Tielemans. Got to hold him, I feel, Fantasy Football Focus is saying. So even the guys in the live chat, pretty undecided about what to do with Tielemans. Georgiev is saying, how was Maddison today? probably not his best game, I don't think, Maddison today, from what I saw. Mixed success from corners and set pieces.
Mm.
I noticed, again, when Iheanacho came on, again, he was getting far more forward, and he had one where I think Vardy played it into him and he hit it straight at the keeper. That would have been nice for me anyway, my fantasy team. So, but I'm not thinking of selling Maddison. I'm pretty okay with him in my team.
I feel like there's a big difference between Maddison and Tielemans, though. If you look at the heat maps and everything else, there is a major difference. There was, prior to 2 weeks ago, there was a big difference between the two of them. Since those 2 weeks, looked like game weeks 13 and 14, that gulf between the two of them, for me, has got even bigger.
Yeah.
And it's either you own Maddison or you go cheap as chips and own Harvey Barnes. But I feel like Tielemans is a waste.
Okay. Well, Leicester's next three fixtures, as you guys will know, Watford at home, which looks absolutely nailed on for captaincy, doesn't it? The way that Watford are all over the place.
But you're
not going to
captain mid, are you? Because you're going to captain Vardy.
You're probably going to captain Vardy next week. I think he'll be a very popular captain for next week, Vardy. So Watford at home next week, then Villa away, then Norwich at home, which, I don't know, we'll talk about Norwich in a minute, a bit of improvement from them over the last couple of weeks. But then from 18 onwards for Leicester, it's Man City, then Liverpool. And I haven't got the rest of the fixtures in front of me, but City and Liverpool from game week 18 and 19. Thinking a bit more longer term, treble Leicester from game week 18 going into the Man City game?
Well, this is the thing. So I feel like, you know, there are good...
So you're starting to think what your exit plans might be for Leicester players?
Not Vardy. I don't feel like you need an exit plan for Vardy. I don't feel like you need an exit plan for Soyuncu either, really, because of his cheapness. And I can just bench him for those tough games.
But it's that midfield, isn't it?
But that midfield spot, I feel like it's wasted on Tielemans. And I'm looking at the midfield options. And I'm looking at Zaha, as we've got in the polls, who's the same price. I'm looking at, if I can free up a little bit of money, there's obviously Dele Alli, who we'll talk about later. There's so many players in that midfield that are performing. Why do I want to hold Tielemans? What's the purpose? Because Palace have just as nice fixtures as Leicester do,
okay, right.
And their run goes longer.
Very good. Right, guys, get in the live chat, get in the comments below if you're watching the replay. Tell us what you think. Are you worried about your Leicester midfield? Are you on Tielemans, Maddison, Barnes, Perez? If you're on any of these guys, I don't think any of us are getting rid of Vardy, as you rightly say, and Soyuncu is good value. Even Chilwell and Pereira
got
are ticking over some points. But that midfield slot for Leicester, is that something over the next 3 or 4 game weeks you're thinking of transferring out of?
Particularly if you've got Liverpool problems. I've obviously still got my wild card, so it's not that big a deal what I do over the next couple of weeks. But for the likes of most of the community who don't, and you've got to have exit strategies for Liverpool players and the Leicester change of fixtures at the same time, it's tough.
Okay, very good. All right, let's talk about the guy that you just referenced as your possible Tielemans' replacement then. So Crystal Palace, again, not a result I was expecting, guys. Back-to-back 3-0 victories for Burnley. So I went double Burnley defence in this game. I just thought Zaha and co, Crystal Palace, they don't score a lot of goals. Back-to-back clean sheets for Burnley. They'll keep it tight. So I had Pope and I had Charlie Taylor. Well, Charlie Taylor goes off on 34 minutes. So straight away I'm thinking, well, that's a disaster. And then Zaha scores the goal not long after. So that game was a complete... That's just a complete disaster. A complete disaster. But give me your view then on Crystal Palace in particular. And before you do, I just want to remind the guys of their fixtures going forward. Crystal Palace, Bournemouth at home, away to Watford, home to Brighton, away at Newcastle, home to West Ham. Doesn't get much better than that, unless you're at Sheffield United, where it does get slightly better, according to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker. Crystal Palace looks like sensational fixtures. So give us your view on Zaha then.
I tried to persuade you, didn't I, on Saturday morning, not to double Burnley defence, because I genuinely think that Crystal Palace are good assets right now. There's some there's two ways of going about it for me. There's only two ways of going about it. You either spend the money on the midfield and you get Zaha, or you go uber cheap with your striker and get Ayew. And I don't...
Patrick Van Aanholt at the back had a good game at the weekend?
Maybe, but for me, he's that bit too expensive.
Sure.
The fixtures are nice, but he's that little bit too much money. Kelly, yes, I could get on board with that.
Yeah, okay. So it looks like Ward is going to be out for a little while.
Yeah,
certainly over the fixtures that we've just discussed, 5 or 6 game weeks. So Kelly coming in at, I was going to say 4-1, I think he might even be 4.2 now. Mm. Looks like a very, very handy player to have in your squad if you want into that Crystal Palace defence.
Yeah, only two teams to keep a clean sheet this week, West Ham and Palace.
Yeah, crazy, right? Crazy.
I can get behind the Kelly one. I think Van Aanholt for me is just a little bit too much money, but I can definitely get behind a Palace Palace defender, because I think there will be clean sheets over the course of the next 5 weeks of fixtures. But for me, it'll be Zaha or Ayew. Now, it depends on how I want to play my game as to which way I'm going to go with this. I really, really, really like the idea of doing a bit of a hokey-cokey with Spurs.
Right.
Which will free up some money, which will mean that I could go for a really big midfield. But then do I want to go... I don't want to have double Palace. So for me, I think Zaha... You've said a few times now that you think Zaha will try and put himself in the shop window.
I do. Yes, I do, yeah.
And I think...
Nice price as well. 6-6. He's almost... He's tailor-made if you want to get rid of Mount.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
and Tielemans.
And Tielemans. He's just such an obvious move, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So I do like him. I also like Jordan Ayew. I think Jordan Ayew's got something about him at the moment. You can see the work rate in him and you can see the effort that's coming from him.
Okay.
So for me, the two of them look like decent picks. I think there's potentially a better cheap striker option.
Okay.
If you look further north. However, I do like Ayew as well.
Okay, all right. Well, some of the guys are saying Gaeta is a good option as well in goal there.
Yeah, Gaeta could be a good option too. Yeah, I forgot about the keeper. Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're starting to look at Crystal Palace defence, which is something I didn't think we were going to say a couple of weeks ago.
But the fixtures point you in that direction.
The fixtures absolutely point you in that direction, no question. Jose Mourinho comes in, 3 games, an absolute bag full of goals.
We're fifth.
3 wins, Spurs are fifth.
What's happened?
Everything's fine again.
I mean, is it though? The ball boy goes for lunch with the players. The ball boy's sitting on the bench now.
The ball boy is
Callum,
the one, isn't he?
Callum's a legend.
One. He's getting fist bumps, he's getting high fives, he's having lunch with the players.
Sanchez was pouring him his drink. He was sitting next to Lo Celso. I was like, what, this kid?
This kid is living the actual dream right now, as is Jose Mourinho. He's come in, 3 games, 3 wins, and something that you noticed, and you called out when we were watching Match of the Day last night, and I said, oh yeah, you're absolutely right. And as soon as you said it, I thought, that's correct. And then they went on to analyse that exact point.
That's correct. That's correct.
You know what I meant. You said it, and I was just like, oh yeah, I haven't noticed that, but that makes sense. And then they went on to analyse that exact thing in the post-match on Match of the Day, which is, your centre-halves can actually pass a ball.
Yeah.
They are very, very good, Toby Alderweireld and Jan Tongman. Toby Alderweireld in particular can hit a very, very nice long ball. And something you said as we were watching that game was, that was something that Maurizio Pochettino didn't like. He liked you to play it out from the back, keep it down, pass it into Ndombele and Winks, and then transition through the midfield. Whereas actually, every now and again, if Toby spots a runner, and by the way, Ali and Son are two of the best in the league at doing those diagonals, he finds them. And again, another goal in with that exact tactic and this weekend.
It was really interesting for me because the last time I was at Spurs, it was one of the most frustrating days of my life because it was like slow pass out of the back. There was so little pace around. Watching them yesterday, it was like something I've not seen for years at Spurs. There were fast, long balls going in. There was players darting around. Dele Alli is the making of, honestly, and I know I sound like a broken record, and I know I've said this, but I've said this since just before Jose arrived. I felt there was a change in Dele. He's more focused.
I noticed, I think you're absolutely right. He was starting to improve even before Mourinho got there. Yeah.
And we saw a change in, and I know it's little, and it sounds irrelevant in terms of FPL, but it is relevant because all of a sudden his social media was no longer about his clothing brand. It was back to being about football again.
Yeah.
I think being left out of the England squad, it was a big shock to him. And it was like, why am I not in the England squad? Well, because you're not playing well enough.
I think he's got that in his mind in terms of next summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he has.
And we were starting to see it under Poch. The last couple of games under Poch, I called it out on the FPL show that I felt he was coming. When Mourinho arrived, he just goes up to him. Whatever he's been saying to him, I know there's all this stuff about him being Dele Alli's brother and all of that, but what he's saying to him on a daily basis, he's having meetings, isn't he, with particular players. Dele Alli's one of them. Toby's another one. Toby's talking about new contracts now.
Yeah.
Like, so all of this it's making a big difference. And for Dele Alli, we've suddenly got a confident Dele Alli. You heard them, the fans in the Champions League on Tuesday evening, as he had to walk around the whole pitch when he got subbed, singing his name.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that for Dele Alli, for a lot of players it's nice. For Dele Alli, that's massive because he is he's fully about confidence, that kid. And now he's getting balls from the defence. Toby Alderweireld suddenly is an FPL pick because if he's going to put balls in like that, Dele and Son are going to score from him.
So give us a view then. You're on Kane right now. And that's
not for much longer.
Disappointing and frustrating view as a Kane owner.
Yeah.
Because all the goals and all the creativity seems to be coming from the mid. So what's your view in FPL of ditching Kane and reinvesting some of that money in the midfield?
Yeah.
It's got to be looked at, I think, isn't it?
I'm going to do that this week.
You're going to do that this week, if ready for midweek. Kane is going to leave your team, finally, after all these weeks. And who are you going to bring in?
Dele.
It's Dele over Son.
100%.
Ooh, 100%. Very confident about that. Very confident.
Get me wrong, Son's going to score goals.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the confidence of Dele Alli that you just can't ignore.
Son looks so dangerous, though, doesn't he?
But you listen to Mourinho. When Mourinho's talking, he's talking about Dele and his number 10 all the time.
That's because Dele needs the confidence. He needs the boost. Son is just so good anyway, he doesn't need that confidence boost.
But I think that position for Mourinho and the way that Mourinho's team plays, that position is so important.
Okay.
And look at the heat maps. If you do, Josh sent me some heat maps earlier of Dele Alli and Son because he was going to do Son. And I've been banging on about Dele Alli for God knows how long now. And he sent me some heat maps for the last couple of games from the FF Scout members area. Have a look at them. They're unbelievable in terms of the difference between what Ali's doing and what Son's doing. For me, the money that you can save by having Dele Alli over Son is 100% worth it.
Okay. Andrew Yee is in. Andrew, thank you for the question. Sam, get rid of KDB for Alli.
No, I'm going to get rid of Kane. I don't want double.
No, he's saying, should he get rid of KDB for Alli?
Oh.
That's a more tricky one, isn't it?
Got
to be another way, Andrew. Got to be another way to get a Spurs mid in your team.
Who else you got? There's got to be a better one you could get rid of than that.
Hit us up on the Slack, Andrew. Come and have a chat.
Be someone better you can get rid of. I think you should get Alli. Yeah, I do, but I don't think I'd lose KDB for him.
Got to be. Super chat from Steve. Thank you, Steve Wynyard, for the super chat. Isn't Ryan a better goalkeeper option long-term than Hendo, as he gets more saves and BPS versus anyone? Until the wild card, don't want to make any more game week transfers. So he's talking about the Brighton keeper Ryan versus Sheffield United's Henderson. We're going to talk about Sheffield United and how good they were again this weekend in just a second. But I do just want to carry on Spurs for a little while because I think that they are going to be very, very popular transfer targets over the next week to 10 days. Defensively, I'm still not convinced, by the way. Still not convinced. Spurs absolutely cruising at 3-0. And then Harry Wilson pulls out, all right, very, very nice free kick. Takes his second goal very well. Were it not for a Vertonghen toenail, could easily have been 3-3 that game. And Spurs drop points and maybe it's not so rosy.
I'm
but
not quite sure why we're still playing in the 96th minute, but still. I think I've never suggested that Spurs are good defensively. We aren't.
Serge Aurier, a pick for you or not? You're relying on attacking points, I think.
Yes, you are. And I still have real concerns about Serge, because he is one of those players that if his head goes at the wrong moment, you're getting a red card. But even with him, there seems to be a difference under Mourinho. He seems to be calmer, strangely. I don't know how Mourinho has made him calmer, but he seems to be actually playing properly. Like, in the Champions League, he was genuinely outstanding.
He was good. Yeah, very good.
He was getting in behind. And I thought, wow, you're defending well and you're attacking. Like, wow.
Okay.
Now, he wasn't so great yesterday, but I think he's one to watch.
Okay.
I think he's definitely one to watch. I still think Gazzaniga is a good pick if you want a cheap goalkeeper, because we will keep some clean sheets and Mourinho will tighten up the defence. We've got to remember he's only been there a couple of weeks, and in that 2 week period, not even 2 weeks yet, is it? In that 10 day period, he's played 3 games of football. So,
okay. All right. Well, very good. Lots to ponder on Spurs, but you reckon Ali over Son? You're converted on this new Dele Alli. Dele Alli is back.
I mean, he might have sold me a wrong one, but I am all aboard the Alli.
Well, listen, Neil Creston agrees with you. Neil from our Slack just did mount to Alli, he says. There we go. So you guys are on board the Alli Express as well. Is in choo-choo. Full swing. Absolutely full swing. Another super chat from Azzy. Thank you for the super chat. Time come where we don't depend on Salah and Mane. Let's go and talk about Liverpool then. Liverpool 2... Brighton 1, a game which, as a Mane owner, I have to say, was a pretty frustrating watch. I did captain Mane. It was a frustrating watch because, particularly in that first 20 to 30 minutes, you know, Trent gets the 2 assists, which I'm very happy about that, of course. Van Dijk gets the 2 goals. I'm obviously, as a Liverpool fan, very happy about that. But Mane played really, really well in that first half. There was one where he just dinked over a little assist for Firmino. There was one where he got in, and I think it was an assist from the other side for Firmino too. So could have had a couple of assists there. And he had a shot blocked from point-blank range against Ryan when I think might even have been Firmino trying to put Mane through, actually. So on another day, at half-time, Mane's on a double-digit haul already. So as a captain of Mane this week, a very, very difficult and frustrating watch. What was interesting as I watched Liverpool a lot was that it felt like once we had those 2 goals, we obviously got into half-time at 2-0, played pretty well for sort of 10 or 15 minutes. Then it felt like we just sort of were like, all right, let's conserve our energy.
Doing that a lot lately.
Let's just... Well, but in particular... So, yes, but in recent weeks, there's been like silly errors, but not because we've taken our foot off the gas. We've still been going for it, but there've just been silly errors. I just felt like 20 minutes into that second half, I think there was just a bit of like, let's just see this game out and conserve our energy. Merseyside derby during the week, flipping Qatar in 3 weeks, you know, got to play out in the Outer Hebrides or whatever. So I just felt like there was a bit of conservation of energy. Okay. Now, as a Salah or a Mane owner, as Azzy is saying, is that a concern for me? Yes, it is, because if Liverpool are going 2 or 3-0 up in these games, you like to think they've got some points already in the bag, these players. But if they haven't, which is what we saw at the weekend, is the foot coming off the gas? Do they not want to go for the 3, the 4, the 5-0 and therefore rack up the huge FPL points totals that we're looking for as captaincy options in Salah and Mane? And Salah in particular looked off the pace again, guys. He's really managing that ankle. I think came off on like the 67th minute for Origi or something. So Klopp is really managing his minutes right now in a way that he's not with Mane. But in that first half in particular, Mane could have had a haul, but Salah didn't really get in amongst it at all, I don't think. So give us your view as a neutral there. The Liverpool, and we'll talk about Alisson and the nonsense in a second. Your concerns about Liverpool assets. You've got Trent, you've got Mane, the blank is coming up. How are you feeling about it?
I don't have that much money invested in Mane, so to lose him when you have your blank is fine. I can do that, and then I can wild card just straight after and get him back again. So that's not a problem.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing for me, as you've just rightly pointed out, is that, you know, these Liverpool players, they really should be ones that you feel you want to captain every week.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at them thinking I want to captain them hardly at all. Like, even this week, Mane didn't even enter my thinking. It was always going to be Vardy or Abraham.
Wow,
and then when Abraham got injured, it was like, well, it's going to be Vardy then. It wasn't like there wasn't a thought of putting the armband on Mane. And so it's interesting, isn't it? Because why have I got him then? Well, I've got him because I feel like I can't not have a Liverpool attacker.
Yeah.
Rather than because I actually necessarily want
them. He's a captaincy option though, isn't he? Come on.
Yeah, but how can you overlook Vardy? at the moment, the form that Vardy is in, he's had my armband now for 3 weeks and has returned every single week without fail. I just feel like he's so consistent. He's on like this rampant run of form.
Okay.
That for me, he's the one I look to first. He's going to get the armband. Can anybody else better it with fixture or form? Okay. Well, at the moment, the answer's no.
Mafio Sol's agreeing with us both, actually. He's saying the reason he didn't captain Mane this week was because he thought Liverpool might ease off, given they've got this crowded agenda coming up, got all these games to come up. Maybe Liverpool did take their foot off the gas a little bit. And with the Alisson thing in the second half, I don't know. I think his head's gone, to be honest with you. I don't know what's going on there. It does look as if Maupay is going to beat Lovren to that ball. And if he does, he's one-on-one. Alisson's got to, I think he's got to stay and come out and make himself big. I don't know why he's coming out like that. Having come out, go with your head. Or go with your chest. Or just don't handle it. I mean, what are you doing? I don't
know.
What
I mean. So, did he not realise where he was? Like, has he had one of those moments where you just... He's lost kind of sense of where on the pitch he is?
I just don't know. And of course, it was Martin Atkinson refereeing it, so he could not wait to get the red card out. I know it is a red card, but he literally couldn't wait to get the red card out. And then the free kick afterwards is... Well, it's bonkers, isn't it? I mean, Dunk seizes the opportunity, no doubt about it. But Adrian's still trying to sort his wall out, and there's players in the Brighton players in the Liverpool wall, which, according to the rules I read on Twitter afterwards, that shouldn't be the case.
No, they've got to be a metre away, yeah.
So, goodness knows, the Liverpool clean sheet goes again in very unlucky and unusual and ridiculous circumstances.
But
so
it's
tough to take.
I mean, this week it's a bit more different, right? Because, obviously, Van Dijk with 2 goals and Trent with 2 assists. So there were points for the defenders this week, regardless of them losing the clean sheet, which I guess is why you pay a premium for Liverpool defenders.
Yeah.
But it begs the question as to, do you have two? And I know that, you know, there's a lot of managers out there who have gone all about the defence. But how often are you going to get a game for Liverpool where all of the attacking points come from the defenders? Well, not that often.
More often than you think with our defenders.
All of it? All of the attacking
points? Yeah, not all. Yeah.
And I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I have sat and watched Liverpool feeling incredibly peeved and frustrated as a Trent owner, because I watch him and I think he looks brilliant and he's had nothing for weeks, no attacking returns, while Robbo's been kind of getting loads. And so I've been kind of thinking, well, I've got my wild card still. When it comes to post-Qatar, who am I going with?
So the guys in the live chat are asking, a lot of them have got their wild cards left. When is the best time to use that? You still have your wild card left.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
So if you've got it left, my plan was to use it in the immediate aftermath of game week 18. So let Liverpool have their blank.
Yeah.
So to use my transfer that week, I'll probably transfer Mane out and bench Trent, because I've got so much value in Trent that... I've got more value in Trent than I have in Mane, so I'll probably bench Trent, sell Mane, and then wildcard in game week 18 to get him back in.
Okay.
I think that's what I'm going to do. But in my mind, I was kind of thinking, well, am I going to get Trent back in, or am I going to do the Trent to Robbo swap again? Because wildcard feels like the only logical time to do that sort of thing.
Very sideways, isn't it?
Very
sideways. So you don't spend a transfer on it.
No. But then Trent performs like he did this week again, and now it's like, well, that's... It's back up in the air again as to who you have. But for me, it's so frustrating owning a Liverpool defender this season, because I know they're getting attacking returns, but it's not consistent which one it is. And they're not keeping the clean sheet, so I don't want both. It's just a case of picking one and going with them, which probably means I'm going to stay with Trent.
All right, very good. So for those of you asking in the live chat, the second wild card comes in, I think
January.
It's... 28th of December or something, after the end of that whatever that game week is. But yeah, so January, effectively, is when you're going to get your second wild card. So if you haven't used your first one yet, definitely use it.
Yeah,
before
otherwise you lose it.
The calendar year is out, no doubt about it. Let's rattle through some of these other games. City again dropping points away at Newcastle. Newcastle haven't been beaten at home since Arsenal beat them in game week 1. So I didn't think that was going to be an easy game for City going to St James's Park.
Nope.
When De Bruyne hits that goal, you're thinking that is worthy of winning any game. What an absolute scorcher from Kevin De Bruyne. Sensational. Just looking at the stats, actually, for the whole of the game week, De Bruyne was top for chances created, top for shots as well, and scores that beauty. I think he ended up with 10 FPL points this week.
And this, Andrew, is why I can't get on board with getting him out.
And that is why you've got to keep Kevin, I think. Of all of the City assets, and they are having a proper wobble at the minute, he definitely looks like the one to have. If you bought in Gabriel Jesus,
It's just not really unlucky, I think.
I think so. He did get in some reasonable positions, yeah. didn't he? Just didn't get the points. And of course, Sterling, I think, returned with 7 points.
Well, bound to, you got him out.
So I got him out and he got the 7 points. But, you know, Vardy got some points as well. So I think my transfers were just about justified. But give us your view on your Man City assets and how you're feeling about them. I think anyone that's got any Man City defenders left in their FPL team needs to probably ship them on pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. I've only got KDB and that is enough. That is way more than enough. I think KDB he's a bit of an enigma at City at the moment. You can rely, he's the one player at City that you can actually rely on to be doing something in those games. And as you were saying, you know, everything about him in that game suggested there was going to be some points for him. And then he scores an absolute worldie. Yeah. So I'm more than happy to have KDB. I have no kind of issues with owning him. I think the rest of the City team, though, are it's really hard to pick. I don't think the defence is solid by any stretch.
I don't think you need anybody else other than KDB right now, in my opinion.
I mean, Sterling, yes, okay, he got a goal this week. So, you know, for those of you that kept him, that's great. Because this game week, there's been a lot of blanks. So to get 7 points out of Sterling is good. But for me, it's too much money. It's only, like, that's the first time he's returned since game week 10, I think.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, that's a hell of a lot of blanks to get one goal. Obviously, with Aguero out, I can understand if you had Aguero going to Jesus. I get that. But I'm not feeling the City love, I've got to be honest. I don't feel like they are the same team as they were last year.
Okay, from a Newcastle perspective, Miguel Almiron.
Finally
gets an assist after how many games? 20
something games? I doubt if anyone owns him anymore.
I'd be amazed at what he's... I'd love to know his ownership in FPL. I've got absolutely no idea. But finally, Miguel Almiron gets an assist. And of course, Shelby scored an absolute beauty, which was deserved the points. And to be fair to Newcastle, they made it very difficult for Man City, worked really hard at the back. They broke the press really nicely. They were talking about on Match of the Day how every time City got the ball, or every time Newcastle got the ball, they're very positive, very proactive with their passes forward. It wasn't like, oh, we've won it off of Man City, we'll pass it back or we'll pass it sideways. Get it, pass it forward. Try and penetrate that Man City break. And they did that very effectively.
But Steve Bruce is a decent manager. And he will have watched the teams that have done well and got something out of Man City this season. The teams that go to play them are the ones that get something out of those games. Spurs are a perfect example of that. If you go to sit back and be, you know, conservative against Man City, you cannot win playing like that. You can't get points out of them playing like that. You have to attack them. It's the only way.
Sam O'Sullivan says Almiron owned by 0.4% of the game.
Well,
there is some owners out there.
That's 0.4% more than I thought you'd have.
29,000 people own Almiron.
Well, that's 20,000 people more than I thought. I wonder if they're dead teams.
Could be, yeah, could be.
Who got him in at the beginning of the season. I think, I think the Newcastle, for me, are really interesting because I'd be interested to know what the Newcastle fixtures are like, actually, because they have...
I can tell
Newcastle
you.
Do seem to have changed a bit lately. There just seem to be something a bit more gritty about them, a bit more pressing.
Sheffield United away next, which is obviously a difficult fixture. Then Southampton at home, Burnley away, Palace at home, Manchester United away. So they are pretty middling fixtures for Newcastle.
But there will
I don't think you'd want them ahead of a trip to Bramall Lane.
No, I don't think you would either. But that could easily be 0-0, that game.
Okay, and there's a few of you guys are saying in the live chat... Alex the Kid is saying Wilhelm, Optimus Prema, Willems. I think he looks all right. He only ever scores blinders though, doesn't he?
Yeah, but who cares? It doesn't matter if it's a worldie or a tap-in, does it really? For a defender to be getting goal returns is ideal.
Very good. Very good. All right, let's a couple more games. We didn't actually catch the Wolves and Sheffield United game because it wasn't on TV today, nor Man United versus Villa. A couple of players to come out of those games. Obviously, Jimenez returns again with an assist for his owner. So Jimenez looking again like a nice pick with some decent fixtures going forward for Wolves. Rashford again on the mark for Manchester United. So again,
his goal went for a heat and own though, didn't it?
Oh, did it go down as a heat and own goal in the end? Oh, okay, yeah, but I think you're right. So he got an assist for that goal, for a heat and own goal. But nevertheless, obviously, I think would have looked good in that game. So we'll catch Match of the Day 2 this evening and see how Rashford looked. The only other game we watched was Norwich 2, Arsenal 2. Interesting how Pukie, Cantwell, all these guys back on the radar and back in the FPL points now that Christoph Zimmermann is back at centre-half. And we've said before how the fact that, you know, when Norwich got some players back, it would have a positive effect throughout the team all the way up to and including Pukie. Now, I'm not getting overexcited because it's the Arsenal defence and, you know, they're having a difficult season, Arsenal at the back, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But is very, very briefly, is Pookie back on your radar? Is Cantwell back maybe in your thoughts?
Cantwell potentially because of the price. So Cantwell is that much cheaper. I think Pookie, I don't know. I feel like Pookie is... I'm not there yet. I'm not about to go to an after party just yet. I feel like
Optimus Prem is saying, is the Pookie party back on? As he's saying, Pookie second wind, Sam. What do you think? Flynn saying, fantastic performance by Norwich. They did play well. I'll tell you what, it was a humdinger of a game, actually. Really enjoyed
it. It was a really good game. I really enjoyed it too. It was a really interesting game to watch. It was really interesting to see what kind of Arsenal performance we got. I don't feel like you can get too excited about Norwich just yet on the basis that they're playing an Arsenal defence which quite frankly are shoddy at best.
Okay.
So let's see Norwich playing a decent defence and see whether we still think Cantwell and Pookie are up there. But I did think Cantwell in particular played blindingly well today.
Okay, and while we're on the subject of reasonably priced forwards, a very quick word for Lise Mousset, who got another goal for Sheffield United today away at Wolves in a very, what would be considered, at least on paper, a very tricky fixture going to Molineux. Is he in your thoughts? He's 4.9, maybe even 5 now, Lise Mousset.
Yes.
He is in your thoughts, okay. So who are you thinking of ditching in your front three?
Kane.
So Mr. Kane to Lise Mousset is going to free you up, what, 6 million or something? 5.5 million?
Yeah, I want to be in the Dele Alli pub.
And you're investing that in Dele Alli. All right, sneak peek into your transfers for next week. Very good, very good. Let's have a look.
Doesn't mean I'm treble Sheffield as well for that nice run of fixtures they've got.
Treble Sheffield for those fixtures. Look at you. You're actually good at this, aren't you? I don't know how you do it. I didn't even think of that. I've only just got Vardy, for crying out loud. Let's have a look at our manager of the month for November, the Patreon League, which I...
Oh, I've never seen this screen before.
I teased it earlier, so you guys might have already seen this. But actually, here is the result. So Bryce, congratulations. Bryce is the FPL family manager of the month for November. Well done, Bryce. A very, very active guy in our Slack. Been a patron of ours for a very long time,
actually.
Won't
be watching, though, because he'd be asleep.
He'd be asleep because he's on the other side of the world, isn't he? But yeah. Bryce, when you wake up, and you realise that you are the November Manager of the Month and we've given you this shout out on FPL Family, come find us because we would love to talk to you. We'd love to ask you which prize you want from kickingtheballs.com, whether you want
the postage on one of these. It's going to be fun.
The postage to the other side of the world is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. But of course, Bryce also wins, as well as some signed footy goods from kickingtheballs.com. He also gets to be, if he wants to, be on one of the shows.
He gets
a little video in the way that Kieran did last month. So if you want, actually, you might want to do that. Maybe we can both have a chat with Bryce.
I want to be involved. Last time I was packing box.
Yeah, that's right. We were in the midst of moves.
It was the day before we moved house, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
I was panic packing.
So there we go. Bryce, congratulations. November Manager of the Month. Unlucky David and Mark and Christiana, Pete and Kieran. Kieran, another good month for Kieran, right? Not so good this week, actually, Kieran. 45, tough week for Kieran this week, but actually 283 for the month of November is not to be sniffed at all. Kieran is doing very, very well this season. So unlucky for you guys that were just below Bryce, but Bryce with a game week score of 63 and a November month total of 302. Oh, yes, nice score.
Good work, Bryce.
Well done, Bryce. Congratulations, sir. Congratulations. Here is your team, Sam, for the weekend. 49 points this game week. Overall rank 14.5k. Yeah. A green arrow or a red arrow?
A red.
A red arrow to 14.5k. Talk us through your team.
I knew it wasn't going to be great, to be honest. Midweek, I knew it wasn't going to be great because of the Tammy injury and because I just didn't want to make a transfer on it if I didn't have to. So I knew I was going into it with a team that I wasn't that happy about playing in terms of the bench, who was going to come on. Basically, you've got a couple of decent performances in there from KDB and from Trent.
It's a few twos,
and then a lot of twos.
Yeah. The double Sheffield's a killer, isn't it? Because
that Wolves goal going in the 60-odd minute is a disaster.
That's a disaster.
But at least he wasn't playing Heaton with his own goal. So, he swings and roundabouts. Look, it is what it is. I've got two free transfers going into game week 15. I know what I'm doing now. I feel confident. As long as Frank says that Tammy's fit, I'm happy.
I think he more or less said that. I think you're probably all right.
Yeah, I need official confirmation and then I'll feel happy. But I think, at the end of last week's live stream, I was at 19.5k. Then we have the Monday night game and the clean sheet from Heaton in that game and 3 points from McGinn meant I was up at 11.5k.
What are you doing with McGinn? Flint in the live chat is saying, what are you doing with McGinn, Sam?
He might go this week.
Ooh, okay. He could be your Dele Alli upgrade. He could be the sacrificial lamb.
It's either going to be McGinn or Moutinho, and I feel like McGinn's probably more on the chopping block than Moutinho is, but I don't know.
He's been
a
favourite of yours this season, McGinn, isn't he? It'd be painful to get rid of him, wouldn't it, Sam? It'd be very difficult.
It's like a dagger to the heart.
How do you think he feels?
I don't really want to do it, but I feel like I do need to do it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm probably going
to
do it.
So, just the early thoughts on transfers is Kane to Moussey.
Yeah.
And McGinn to Dele Alli.
Yeah, there might be a third in there. It might be a mini World Cup. Ooh! But
have you got two frees then?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. And a third?
Or it might be Zaha.
Zaha for Moutinho?
No, for Tielemans.
For Tielemans, okay. Could be... goodness me. All change. All change in Sam's FPL team. But nevertheless, 49 points. It's not bad. It's okay. It's a little bit below par, but it's fine.
It's livable with. It's a 3K red arrow. It's not the end of the world.
Correct.
We
move on. And
Dele Alli next week.
Dele Alli next week. We move on. Overall rank 14.5K. Which is still absolutely sensational overall rank. My game was poor, guys. It's a poor game week, no doubt about it. I've actually had a few half-decent game weeks over the last 2 weeks, and I've been sort of treading water or getting the odd sort of green arrow. But 45 points this game week feels very below par. The Burnley double at the back didn't work out. I've now got a problem with Taylor. Depending on how bad his hamstring injury is, I've got to sort that out.
Get Kelly.
I was thinking that, yes. It saved me 0.1 and he looks all right. He looks pretty handy to have
Kelly
in the team.
So nice
I'm thinking Kelly. Vardy obviously came into my team last game week, and he, you know, a lot of people captained him, so just having him softened that blow. I think my overall rank would have been down near the 200 mark if I didn't have Vardy at all. Jimenez obviously returned, so that's good. Trent doing some good stuff for me, as was De Bruyne. But outside of that, you know, didn't get my captain right again. Just can't get it right. Lundstrom on the bench was very uncomfortable, given that it was a choice between Lundstrom and Taylor. And obviously Taylor the day before off on 34 with a one pointer. So Lundstrom, until that, who got the goal today? Doherty. So until that Doherty goal, Lundstrom was on for a clean sheet, and that was, I was very uncomfortable with that. But nevertheless, just missed out on one point there. It's a weird game week. I went into it thinking, well, Chelsea are going to batter West Ham, and I've got Mount and Pulisic. I'm thinking Leicester are going to batter Everton, so Madison will get some points, and Vardy and Soyuncu will do all right. You know, I expected Mane to get something against Brighton, hence the captaincy. So I don't know, just didn't work out. I look at my team.
Like that, though, don't you sometimes?
Yeah, well, yeah, I seem to have them quite often. but I'm looking at this team for next week, and I'm thinking, okay, well, my Leicester assets again, I'm quite looking at those. Chelsea at home to Villa, I'm going to be sticking on those. Jimenez and the Liverpool players, I'm going to be playing those. So apart from Pope, who's got, I think, Man City, you know, Lundstrom's going to come back in for that Sheffield United at home game against Newcastle. Mm. And if Tammy's fit, then Tammy comes back in. I don't feel like I want to make any transfers, to be honest. I know you're thinking of, you know, three there and a bit of a mini wild card. I'm looking at mine and thinking I might roll it, actually. I think I might roll it. I've got sort of reasonably happy with the team. So 45 points, it's about 40k red arrow down to 164, which is disappointing, to say the least, guys. Disappointing. But nevertheless, we move on. The game weeks are going to come thick and fast. They're coming thick and fast. So, you know, 45 this game week could have been so much better. It's that Chelsea result that's killed me. That's the one that's killed me, really. David Martin, you've got a lot to answer for, young man. A lot to answer for. Just before we go, we're going to do polls. But before we talk about polls, we're going to talk about podcasts. For those of you that are listening to the podcast and have subscribed or followed us on either SoundCloud or Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, etc., and thank you for doing that. If you're listening to the podcast, you can ignore the next minute or so. But if you're listening, if you are watching us, or if you're, I don't know, watching us on YouTube or looking at the replay, then we are also available to listen back to via any of your favourite podcasting platforms. So if you want to go follow us on any of those platforms there, you can get the audio version of this live stream. And you can listen to it to your heart's content. So
we'll also
go.
Have a couple of videos out on the Scout YouTube channel this week, on FF Scout YouTube. There'll be a Sam versus Lee, and there'll also be a Sam Says at some point this week. A little bit different timing wise this week because of obviously the double game week. Well, not double game week, but the midweek game week. But yeah, keep your eye out on the FF Scout and Twitter and the YouTube channel for those.
Absolutely. We're doing quite a bit more with FF Scout at the moment, aren't we? Little videos and what have you here and there. So look out for those, guys.
A bit of Pro Pundit article for me as well later on in the week.
Oh, you're back on the Pro Pundits, are you? What's your article about? Any ideas?
Probably Dele Alli.
Dele Alli, your favourite topic.
No, it's after game week. Well, it'll be midway through game week 15, my article. So.
Very good. All right, well, here are the questions from the poll, Sam. So the Liverpool defensive double up, which was asked by Aaron Chen from our Slack. Still an option. You only need one. Ditch them all. How are you feeling?
You only need one.
You only need one. 68% of the guys agree with you. You're absolutely right. Still an option to double up. 24% are saying, you know, still an option there. 7% are saying ditch them all. We've had enough of this no clean sheet nonsense. But overwhelmingly, over two-thirds of you guys are saying you only need one on that Liverpool defence there. Best cheap goalkeepers going forward, Pope Ryan, Gazzaniga, Henderson, or somebody else?
I really like Henderson.
Henderson, yeah. Okay. Given the fixtures, I think he's going to be a really, really nice pick. And again, the guys agree with you. Over half the community agree with you. 54% of you guys saying Henderson. 8% going with Gazzaniga, 8% Pope, 21% with Ryan, and 8% on other. So yes, Henderson, a very, very nice pick to complement Mr. Lord Lundstrom over the next few weeks in that Sheffield United defence. Best midfielder around 6.5 million or lower, Mount, Tielemans, Zaha or Perez?
Zaha.
You think Zaha? Okay, oh, interesting. So 70%. Does seem to be a lot of movement towards Zaha. A lot of movement towards Zaha. Mount in at 10%. Tielemans at 15, Perez at 3, but 70% of you guys going with Zaha. I get the feeling he is going to be a pretty popular transfer in at 6.6 over the next few days. And the best Tottenham-Manchester United combo, this is the difficult one. Now, Kane Martial is the first one. Now, you're thinking of getting rid of Kane, I'm not going to say that. And I'm not going to say Kane Rashford either.
No.
So the three remaining ones are Ali Rashford, Son Rashford, or Son Martial.
The one with Ali in it.
Ali and Rashford, you think is the one?
Yeah.
I think I'd go with you, actually. 36% of the guys agree, although 44% are saying Son and Rashford. So this is in response to Sean's question. Sean, thank you for the question. Most of you guys in the community going with Son and Rashford. So Rashford seems to be the one to go for over Martial. And based on the performance that I think we're going to watch on Match of the Day later tonight, I think I agree with that. And it's split, really, between Son and Ali. 44% saying Son, 36% saying Ali, and then 13% saying Son and Martial. So it's Rashford and Son just about winning it, but it's close. It's closer than it would have been, frankly, a couple of game weeks ago. Ali firmly on the radar at 36% there, firmly on the radar. So there we go, Sam. That is it. That's it for another FPL family. Thank you very much for joining us. Lots and lots discussed as ever in this game week. Loads and loads of goings on. Look out for the game week deadline on Tuesday of next week.
Yeah, because games on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday.
Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday this
week.
I'm
off to do my Amazon subscription now, just so that we can watch them.
All the games are on Amazon Prime, aren't they, this week? So if you haven't got Amazon Prime, or if you've still got your free Amazon Prime trial, not a bad time to activate it, I would suggest. Premier League games on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. The deadline's on Tuesday. And then, of course, we have another round of games.
Saturday
and Sunday. So they are coming thick and fast, guys. And I, for one, am looking forward to seeing how your mini wildcard is going to play out over the next
few
days.
I'm about to go and do one now.
Zaha going up in price tonight, according to the guys in the live
chat.
Yeah,
well, that's the one I'm doing tonight. Tielemans and Zaha I'm doing tonight.
Interesting, interesting. There we go, guys. So well done in game week, what are we on, 13, 14? Game week 14. Well done in game week 14. If you had a bad game week 14, do not despair, because game week 15 is but a couple of days away on Tuesday. So well done. Good luck in game week 15. We will see you this time next week, Sunday, 8 p.m, where we'll be looking back across the whole week of FPL action. We'll have loads of games to talk about. I don't know if we can talk about every game. We're going to be talking about headlines and stuff, right?
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have a table.
Hopefully we'll have a little table. Thank you, guys. Hit that like button before you go. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new around here at FPL Family on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll see you this time next week. Thank you for joining.
Bye, guys.